A GM body shop worker says a GM failure would cost a lot of jobs both inside and outside the company.
You're talking everybody from the people who work in the plant to the people that work in a seat factory, the people that drive the trucks to bring the parts to the plant. They would all be out of a job.
A bill to rescue the big three automakers is stalled, and Democrats are challenging the administration to act. But White House spokeswoman Dana Perino says there's no appetite for that, and that it's up to Congress. Wall Street has sunk to another low, AP correspondent Warren Levinson reports.
Wall Street is absorbing the message that Congress opposes a bailout of the domestic auto industry, pushing the Dow Jones Industrial Average to a 5.5-year low. The Federal Reserve projected a sharp slowdown in economic activity the rest of this year and next. The Fed report hints that further interest rate cuts may be necessary to try to rouse the economy from its torpor, but rates are already so low it's hard to know what kind of effect more cutting would have. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 427 points, closing below 8,000 for the first time since March 31, 2003. Warren Levinson, New York.
Former presidential candidate Mike Huckabee says in the aftermath of the 2008 Democratic election tsunami, the Republican Party must now reassess where it is and where it is going. As AFN's Chad Groening reports, the former governor of Arkansas says, unfortunately, many in the Republican Party have abandoned the very principles that once drew Americans to trust.
Huckabee's book is called Do the Right Thing, inside the movement that's bringing common sense back to America. He says it is easy to understand why the Republican Party took such a beating in the recent election.
We see corruption that Republicans didn't address harshly enough. We see incompetence where government failed to make simple things happen and allowed an economy to melt down. And it's not all Republicans' fault, but Republicans are taking the blame for it because we didn't stand up and speak up soon enough and loud enough.
But Huckabee says the GOP can come back.
I think we can recover pretty quickly if we will remember why we used to win elections rather than lose them. We won them when we stood for something. And when not only we stood for something, but when we got elected, we actually did what we said, and we made government efficient and effective. We're going to have responsible people running for office who will be held accountable.
Huckabee says it is too early for him to think about another run in 2012. So for now, he plans to continue to host a show on the Fox News channel and attempt to move the conservative movement back to its true agenda. I'm Chad Groening.
California's highest court has agreed to hear legal challenges to a new ban on homosexual marriage, but it is refusing to allow homosexual couples to resume marrying until it rules. The California Supreme Court on Wednesday accepted three lawsuits seeking to overturn Proposition 8. The amendment passed this month with 52% of the vote. The court did not elaborate on its decision. Moody Bible Institute students will be able to evangelize on Chicago Transit Authority train platforms. AFN's Charlie Butts brings you this story.
The students were simply practicing what they study when they were approached.
Police stopped them, and the security officials said, "You can't do that. You need a license, and you got to pay $10, and you got to stand in a certain designated area."
That's Chicago attorney John Palk, who says authorities added insult to injury.
One student from Texas was told that his ID from Texas was insufficient. He'd have to get a driver's license.
That's when the students approached Palk for help, and he intervened.
And this is actually a good story of how to work through, in some cases, what was ignorance on behalf of security officials. They didn't understand the law. They didn't even understand their regulations. And then on the other hand, you have an ambiguous regulation that apparently prohibits preaching.
CTA officials have decided to change the regulations to make sure they are constitutional and to train workers on the rights of Christians. I'm Charlie Butts.
And those are your top stories on American Family News. For more on these stories and for the latest news around the clock, visit onenewsnow.com. That's onenewsnow.com. I'm Pete Shagnon.
In this day of economic...
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you. Let our motto be, don't tread on me. LibertyRadioLive.com.
Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, also known as Jesus in the West, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. These days, the object of this program is to go through the Bible, through the Scripture, chapter by chapter, book by book, verse by verse, and without leaving anything out. And we're not going in it in chronological order from Genesis to Revelation, just going through it as I feel led by the Spirit, since I've undertaken this attempt fresh. On the 10th book in this series, the new series I'm doing, and we're in the book of Jeremiah. And that's where we're going to pick up today. If you missed any of the previous programs, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and you'll find the last 5 days' broadcast there archived. You can listen on demand at any time. If you're late for a program or you miss it for a day, the programs are uploaded within an hour of the broadcast, so you can go and listen on demand anytime. That's at crosstheborder.org. There you'll also find the other studies that we've done in this attempt to start a new series on every book of the Bible. We're on book number 10, so we've only got, 56 to go? Yes, we're going to be here for a few years, but that's fine. That's fine. I can't think of anything that I would rather do. We're in Jeremiah chapter 4, and I have marked here verse 16. Jeremiah called himself the prophet to the nations, and of course he was a prophet in Israel too. And we're going to jump right in here, because there's nothing I could say that would explain what's going on more than just reading it, starting in verse 16 of chapter 4. Make ye mention to the nations, behold, publish against Jerusalem, that watchers come from a far country and give out their voice against the cities of Judah. Well, that means there's foreigners in the land, you know, watching, spies perhaps, from a far country, and they give out their voice. The key word there is against the cities of Judah. And nothing like that is happening in America, is it? Verse 17, as keepers of a field are they against her round about, because she hath been rebellious against me, saith the Lord. Thy way and thy doings have procured these things unto thee. This is thy wickedness, because it is bitter, because it reacheth unto thine heart. My bowels, I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace. Jeremiah speaking, I believe, because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Now, I feel like there's a great parallel here between the times that Jeremiah lived in Judea and the times that I live in, in the northern American continent here in America, and see a people that have gone backward. And Jeremiah talks about how they still look religious and everything. And yes, with the corporate churches out there, it looks pretty darn religious. But why aren't they winning in the culture war? They are not winning in the culture war. Otherwise, why would we have abortion? Why would we have homosexuality? Why would we be continually losing our liberty, our freedoms? Why would we become the greatest debtor nation on the earth, where in the youth of America in its youth was the greatest creditor nation? America had real money, real substance, a just weight and a balance. But now we have empty promises to pay. Yes, that's what a note is. If you know anything about finance, a note is a promise to pay. A note is an evidence of debt. And when you pull those little pieces of paper out of your wallet that you call money, they are evidences of debt. Notes. That's what they are. Notes. All money is loaned into circulation in America because America is no longer a free nation. Oh yes, we have the illusion of liberty. And you know, that's the worst. The worst kind of slave there is the one who falsely believes that he is free. So America is full of the worst kind of slaves. They have an appearance of godliness, but they practice wickedness. We talked about that yesterday. Jeremiah brought that up. And then they teach the wicked ones to do it. So now the wicked ones are starting their own churches. They got homosexual pastors. And they love money. And they especially love debt money. They especially love those evidences of debt notes. And they have signed up to become card-carrying members of an abominable debt monetary system, a usurious monetary system, something our Heavenly Father called an abomination. It's not His monetary system. So what could happen in America? Well, exactly what happened in Israel. I don't know what will happen. I know what the Scripture says. I know what I believe about America's place is in the Scripture. I believe that America is the second beast that rose up out of the earth or in the wilderness. Two ways of translating that. With two horns like a lamb. And we've talked about the lamb-like features of America. So I know what America's destiny is. I know what the destiny of the second beast of the book of Revelation is. That it is going to become like a dragon. And it's becoming a little more dragon-like all the time. I don't think that we're there yet. I don't see America killing the holy ones, the people of God, His set-apart people. That isn't happening yet. I do see persecution coming in, people being left out because, well, I mean, if you're going to be a follower of our Heavenly Father's law, then you can't partake in their debt monetary system except through ignorance. And boy, you know, woe to you if you're fully engaged and you don't want to let go and you hear this program, you hear this word of His law, and you realize that you are fully engaged in the world and you have their identifying number, so you're of it. And if you don't want to get out, if you aren't looking for ways to be made free, then woe to you. Because what we have here is we have a nation of people who have signed up for a mark of a beast, for a monetary system that is a usurious monetary system. Yes, to become a card-carrying member, to buy and sell and trade in their system, you have to be identified as one of theirs. Now, I've talked about this before, how they had this commercial on the TV where this guy puts his mark, his identifying number on the side of a big semi-truck or a big truck, and he drives it through the towns and he dares people to steal his identity. Well, the secret is people have stole his identity and used it, but nonetheless, where is your identity? Where do you find your identity? Is your identity in Christ? Do you live and move and have your being in Him? You know, I would dare someone to steal my identity. And why would they want it anyway? There's nothing to be gained by it. They can't get the riches of this world by stealing my identity, because my identity is in Christ. My identity is in Him. He is my Father. I have been born into His family. I am part of His holy nation. That's my identity. It's not in a 9-digit number. I don't have that identity. And if I had it, I would repent of partaking in such wickedness, such an abomination. He said the just weight and the balance are mine. Real money is His. Yes, I do trade in those notes. I use those notes. But you know what? If I go down, to me they're a commodity. If I go down to their bankers' tables, their money changer tables, you know, down in the buildings, they call them banks or whatever, financial institutions. And if I try to use their monetary system to create some for myself through borrowing or getting a loan, they won't let me because I don't have the number. That's right. They won't let you unless you have the number. You have to be one of theirs. You have to have their mark, their identifying number, in order to participate in their monetary system, to participate in creating money. The substance is his. He said, a just weight and a balance is mine, but we can find many statutes against usury. And a whole system that is based on usury. And it's ridiculous. It's fraud. Most people don't even know what they're taking part in. They think when they go to get a loan to buy a house or a car, they think that somebody at the bank there is loaning them other people's money in the bank. You know, that's the way banking was before we had a debt monetary system. The bankers would bank people's money and their gold and their silver, and they would give them banknotes. And the note said that we have on deposit here your money, and you can bring your bank this bank note anytime at all and get your money out of the bank. But until then, you can use these for trading, and if the bank was reputable, then people would trust in the bank's notes. But now it's not so. No, you don't borrow people's money from the bank. You go down, and the bank has you create a note. They take your note. See, you're participating, you're creating this unjust weight and balance money. You're a participant in it because you have a number. They allow you to play their little usury game. And it's a terrible game, too, because most people don't understand is that the money that they're borrowing is not being borrowed from the bank. It's not even being borrowed from the depositors of the bank. But the bank takes the note and they give it to the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve waves a magic wand over it. Well, okay, they monetize it. That's like waving a magic wand over it. And voila, this money springs out, and they put the digits in your account. And then the bank, over the duration of the loan, you're going to pay back three times on the note that you created. And by the virtue and the privilege that you received through receiving their mark, their identifying number, they will magically monetize it for you, and then you get to buy that thing, that $250,000 house that is only that high because of the monetary system. Because before they let go of the real money system, you know, you could, that same house would be like $10,000. You could buy a new car for, you know, $1,500. But inflation came with it. But you're going to have to pay back three times for that house. So for the privilege, the banksters, for the privilege of having them wave their magic wand over your note and monetizing it, they're going to get the principal back, the amount you borrowed, right? I mean, if you go for the full duration of the loan, they're going to get the principal back, the amount you borrowed, and they're going to give that back to the money magic people, the Federal Reserve, and that extinguishes that money. But in addition, you're going to pay the banksters twice that amount again in interest on a note that you created using their voodoo economics. Yes, we had a president who coined that phrase, voodoo economics. But that's what it is. It's voodoo economics. And that's an abomination. That's what our Heavenly Father says. That's what's going on there. Now, how we got into that, I don't remember how we got off of that little rabbit trail there. But we're talking about, the second beast and how we've lost that godly, that lamb-like principle of a just weight and a balance. So what's going to happen to America? Is it going to end up like Israel in that day? Well, a lot can happen, and the second beast can be torn down and rise up again. Anything could happen. The second beast, the people of this nation could possibly repent. Though as I look out over the land, I see that it's much like, you know, Judah was in the days of Jeremiah. And it may be one to a city, two to a family. Yes, it seemed like a very minority of people were going to respond to the cries of this prophet, Jeremiah. And so hear the word of the prophet Jeremiah to the nations, because these words apply to us as much as they do to Judah in that day. And we know the end then. And we know the end now, but we don't know, have a lot of details of what could happen between now and the end of the second beast that rose up out of the wilderness. He says, my bowels, I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace, because thou hast heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Why was he so alarmed? Should not Judah, should not Israel be triumphant in war? No, because he knew the end of that war. He knew the wickedness of the people and the punishment that was coming on the nation. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled and my curtains in a moment. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. The prophet is proclaiming what is going to happen. The destruction is coming on Israel. This vision of total annihilation. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. And behold, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of Yahuwah and by his fierce anger. So what are we learning here? That our Heavenly Father, he will allow destruction to come. He will allow us to reap the reward of our own wickedness and our own disobedience. He will allow it. As a matter of fact, it is here called his fierce anger. He allows it. His fierce anger allows the destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of Judah by the hand of the heathen. Let me ask you a question. If China moved against America with their 100 million man army, you know, perhaps only half of them would make it here. And perhaps we'd kill half of them when they got here, but we would still lose, wouldn't we? Think about that. What about the other nations? Oh, we would call on our allies like Israel did. They called on Egypt. They called on whoever they could make. And they were no help when Babylon came in. None of their allies could help them. What do you think? We call on the NATO nations and all of Europe and say, remember the day. Remember in World War II when we came to your aid. You think they'd lift their little finger to help us? No, I don't think so. I think they'd say, you know, China's a lot closer to us than they are to you. We'd rather have them just take you. 100 million man army? Who's going to stand up against that? You get that red China mad. They got enough to leave half of them at home to subdue Europe. Could they do it? Well, I'll tell you what. They can only do it if the Creator allows it. Then will people call on the name of Yahuwah? Will they call on the Lord? Will they say, help us, save us? And what will he say to them? Chapter 4, verse 27. For thus hath the Lord said, the whole land shall be desolate, yet will I not make a full end. For this shall the earth mourn, and the heavens above be black, because I have spoken it, and I have purposed it, and I will not repent, neither will I turn back from it. The whole city shall flee for the noise of the horsemen and the bowmen. They shall go into the thickets and climb upon the rocks. Every city shall be forsaken, and not a man dwell therein. And when thou art spoiled, what will you do? What wilt thou do? Though thou clothest thyself with crimson, though thou deckest thee with ornaments of gold, though thou rentest thy face with painting, in vain shall thou make thyself fair. Thy lovers will despise thee. They will seek thy life. There it is, thy lovers. That's your foreign entanglements. We had a wise founding father in George Washington when he said to avoid foreign entanglements, because they will turn on you when the time comes, as they did on Israel. Well, we're going into a break here. We'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Cross the Border. My website is crosstheborder.org. Find that email link there and email me. I would like to hear from you.
Why should the Father bother to call us His children? Why should the Spirit hear it when we pray? Why should the Father bother to be concerned with all our needs? It's all because of what the Son has done.
To the King of Kings, and to His kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven. One holy nation, and a heavenly Father, grace, mercy, justice for all.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar. Yeah.
Government Takeover of the Church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for His people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
Don't buy the sizzle of that steak until you understand the cost. In other words, don't buy the hype being dispensed by the rare coin pitchman of the alternative media until you understand the full story. FlyingEagleGold.com offers the most private, non-confiscable gold and silver coinage in the world. At very competitive cost, Jeffrey Bennett has been a purveyor of wealth protection, gold and silver bullion, and rare collectible coins for over 17 years. His personal experience reaches back to 1958, and he takes personal pride in putting your interests ahead of all else. To hear the whole story, not the hard sell, you're invited to call Flying Eagle Gold at 623-327-1778. That's 623-327-1778 for the truth about protecting your wealth. Join Jeffrey Bennett each day, Monday through Friday, when he hosts right here on LibertyRadioLive.com. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, you may subscribe at LibertyRadioLive.com for only $45 a month. And you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all the First Amendment Rights Media Group programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you can request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $20. Or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You can do all this online at LibertyRadioLive.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet, then call 559-781-3773, 559-781-3773, and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at the First Amendment Rights Media Group.
That song, Guide Me in Truth in All My Ways. That's a good prayer. Okay, you're listening Across the Border. We're Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 30. And when thou art spoiled, what wilt thou do? Though thou clothest thyself with crimson, though thou deckest thy with ornaments of gold, though thou rentest thy face with painting, in vain shall thou make thyself fair. Thy lovers will despise thee. He's describing them as dressing up like a harlot, basically, and saying, thy lovers shall despise thee. He's telling them, you've played the harlot. Then what are you going to do? Dress up like a harlot again? Oh, they will seek thy life. Yes, thy lovers will seek thy life. For I have heard a voice as of a woman in travail, and the anguish as of her that bringeth forth her first child, the voice of the daughter of Zion that bewaileth herself, that spreadeth her hands, saying, woe is me now, for my soul is wearied because of murderers. Chapter 5 and verse 1. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if you can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. That's right. He says, hey, If you can go through the streets of Jerusalem, if there be any that execute judgment, that seeks the truth, and I will pardon it. Well, let me see. I'll go to the Capitol Hill in America. Are there any there that execute judgment and seek the truth? Verse 2, and though they say, the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Yahuwah, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. And that's what I would be afraid of for America. If America were stricken, if America were smitten in such a way, we got a little taste of that, you know, in 2001 with the 9/11 incident. That was just a little taste. What if all of America was smitten and stricken? When I look at these people and the way they're acting throughout these latest election season, and the things that the people want and the things that they voted for, well, I would be afraid that they would do just as Judah did here, refuse correction, make their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Verse 4, therefore I said, surely these are poor, they are foolish, for they know not the way of Yahuwah, or the judgment of their God. I will get me unto the great men, and I will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord, and the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke, and burst the bonds. Oh, see, how fitting for America. What is the yoke of the government of America? What is the bond that limits, that binds the hands of those that govern in America? Well, in Judah, it was the law. In America, is it the law of God? Well, yes. But to be more precise, in America, is it not the Constitution? Have they not broken the bond? Don't they just ignore it now? It's meaningless. We got a president who promised before he was voted for, before he would go into office, that he was going to use executive orders. Why, you know, I don't know where in the Constitution he gets that authority. He got that from that great usurper, Lincoln. He was the first one. He was the one who invented the executive orders. He was the one who started a civil war in this nation on purpose. Yes, he did. I know they don't teach that to you in the public school system, do they? Why, because they worship the new fascist nation that was created by the dictator Lincoln, who started the war on purpose, responsible for the blood of hundreds of thousands of American men, women, and children. Yes, some people say he repented in his last days and that he was going to unscramble the egg, yes, return the South to the same footing. And they say that's why he got killed. Well, you know what? I hope he did repent. I hope he was like that thief on the cross and that he repented at the last, because even for the worst tyrants that have ever lived, I would not wish the eternal punishment and damnation in hell. I would not wish on them eternity in the lake of fire. But at the same time, that I hope he did. I wish it were true. Nobody knows. You can only assume or guess that it was true. But I'll tell you what, even if it is true, that doesn't justify anything that he did before that. It doesn't make right any of the wickedness that he brought on this nation and all of the deaths and the murders and the destruction of a free confederation of nations. It's like the line in that movie, National Treasure. The star in the movie, he says at one point, he says, before the Civil War, they said the United States are. After the Civil War, they say the United States is. Well, basically, we're in a different nation than the one that was founded by those fathers who wrote the Constitution. And every president since Lincoln, who destroyed the Federation of Free States, has ignored the Constitution for the most part. Yes, they keep up the illusion that the Constitution is still in full force and effect, but it's obvious that it is not. Is America like Judah in the days of Jeremiah? Well, the prophet Jeremiah, the prophet to the nations, from the reading here, it's so much of it seems fitting. He continues in verse 7 of chapter 5. How? Is that where we left off? Okay, I will get at me unto the great men. I will speak unto them, for they have known the way. Verse 5. They have known the way of Yahuwah and the judgment of their God, but these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. That's where we left off, talking about bursting the bonds of the yoke that is supposed to be on a limited government. That's what they had in Israel. It was a limited government. The leaders were under the law of God, and they broke the bonds. They burst the bonds. They broke the yoke. Verse 6, wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, a wolf of the evenings shall spoil them, a leopard shall watch over their cities, every one that goeth out thence shall be torn to pieces, because their transgressions are many, and their backslidings are increased. How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me, and sworn by no gods, and sworn by them that are no gods. When I had fed them to the full, they then committed adultery, and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. They were fed as horses. They were as horses. They were as fed horses in the morning. Every one neighed after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not visit for these things, saith Yahuwah? And shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Go ye up upon her walls, and destroy, but not make not a full end. Take away her battlements, for they are not the Lord's, they are not Yahuwah's. Who's he talking to? The enemies of Israel. Go up on her walls and destroy, but make not a full end. No, you know what? That fits perfectly. The time of Judah, the enemies came in, tore down the walls, but to make not a full end. A remnant of Judah must remain for the fulfillment of the prophecy, for the bringing forth of the seed that was promised to Adam and Eve, the seed of the woman, the Messiah. Couldn't have a full end yet, could we? Because there was still a place for Judah in prophecy and in history. And you know what? That's what I see. All of these terrible things could come on the nation, America, but it will not be made a full end, because America still has a place in prophecy and history. And I'll tell you what, whereas Judah's place in prophecy to come after this destruction, after these things, was a glorious place in that they brought forth the Messiah, the seed of the woman, the promised Redeemer of mankind, America's place in prophecy is not so beautiful as that. It is not so glorious, but it is an awful and a horrible place in prophecy, because the beast that rose up in the wilderness and even to this day still exhibits lamb-like principles will speak as a dragon and will kill the saints of God. And they will cause everyone on the earth whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, cause them all, rich and poor, great and small, to receive a mark, a number, in their right hand or in their forehead, to buy or sell or trade. They will cause everyone to worship the image to the first beast. Yes, the second beast is going to create itself an image to the first beast. We're talking about governments here. First beast is a government identified as the great whore, the great harlot that shed the blood of the saints throughout history. Of course, I'm talking about the Vatican. And the second beast, well, we're going to see the second beast becoming real chummy with the first beast. It's going to happen. A lot of people say, well, that's absurd. Nah, that'll never happen. Oh. Well, yeah, I'll go with the Word of God. I'll put my, I'll place my bet over there that His Word is the correct one, and the correct interpretation of prophecy and future history. So, not so grand a place, not so much to look forward to, but yes, something must remain. So, I see another parallel there between America at this time and Judah at that time. Just remember the time of Jeremiah coming up to the destruction. The wickedness in Judah was great. The abomination of the nation was terrible. It's called the abomination that maketh desolate, because it's that abomination which brought about the destruction of the temple. It wasn't the Babylonians coming in. That was just the fulfillment, the end of it. It wasn't the Babylonians coming in and destroying the city and destroying the temple and carrying away all the implements. The abomination was what the nation was doing that brought about the desolation. And when Yahshua, and we discussed this when we were in the book of Matthew, when he said, let the reader understand, when you see therefore the abomination that maketh desolate, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, well, we go back and we look, and that's what we're talking about. And that's what we're talking about now. Jeremiah is talking about it before it happened. He's talking about the abomination of the nation of Judah that brings about the destruction of the temple, that brings about the destruction of Jerusalem and the scattering of the holy people. So, chapter 5, verse 10 of Jeremiah, go ye up upon her walls and destroy, but make not a full end. Take away her battlements, for they are not Yahuwah's. Are our battlements, are they His? No. Will they be taken away? Good possibility. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously against me, saith Yahuwah. They have belied the Lord and said, it is not He. Neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword or famine, and the prophets shall become wind, and the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done unto them. Yes, how about the prophets out there in the state churches? That's right. If you go to a church that is incorporated with the state, well, just think about that for a while, that statement. Incorporated with the state. The church incorporated with the state. Think about that. Meditate on that for a while. The church incorporated with the state. So who is the church's lawmaker if the church is incorporated with the state? Is there a lawmaker, Yahuwah? Is there a lawmaker, the Lord? Or is there a lawmaker, the state? Which master are they serving if they're incorporated with the state? Their prophets are wind. That's what it says here. And the prophets shall become wind, and the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done unto them. Wherefore, verse 14, wherefore thus saith Yahuwah, God of hosts, because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. Reminds me of the prophets in Revelation. It means that the words that these prophets speak will come true. It doesn't mean that fire proceedeth out of their mouth, you know, like the barrel of a tank. Here we have the example of how to rightly interpret the Word of God right here. Thus, because you speak this word, we speak the Word of God, he's talking to Jeremiah, because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. That means as you are speaking my word, thus it shall be done. That's right. And when your mouth speaks judgment, the judgment will be as sure as if fire was coming out of your mouth to consume the people. Chapter 5 and verse 15. Lo, I will bring nation upon thee. And now he explains how this works. I will bring a nation upon thee, upon you from far, O house of Israel, saith Yahuwah. It is a mighty nation. It is an ancient nation, a nation whose language thou knowest not, neither understandeth what they say. Their quiver is an open sepulchre. They are all mighty men, and they shall eat up thine harvest and thy bread, which thy sons and thy daughters should eat. They shall eat up thy flocks and thy herds. They shall eat up thy vines and thy figs. They shall impoverish thy fenced cities, wherein thou trusted with the sword. Nevertheless, in those days, saith Yahuwah, I will not make a full end with you. I'm going to bring all this destruction. I'm going to bring this nation from afar, a terrible nation. They're going to take everything, but I will not make a full end with you. And as we discussed, that is because Judah had a place in history yet to fulfill, to bring forth the seed promised to Adam and Eve, the seed of the woman, the Messiah, the Redeemer of mankind. So he says, I will not make a full end with you. And it shall come to pass when you shall say, wherefore doth Yahuwah, our God, all these things unto us? Then shall thou answer them, like as you have forsaken me and served strange gods in your land, so shall you serve strangers in a land that is not yours. Well, it's more likely that we're going to serve strangers in our land. As a matter of fact, America is serving strangers in its own land. Who do you think you're paying all that usury to? Other Americans? Well, yeah, they deceived you into thinking when you went to the bank for that loan that you were borrowing it from your neighbor who had deposits in that bank. But it was a deception. It was a fraud. And because you love to be deceived, because you lusted after the things that you could not afford, they deceived you and made you their slave. It's not to your neighbor. If you want to borrow something from your neighbor, if my neighbor comes over to me and he says, can you loan me $100? Well, I would be inclined to say yes. And if he said, I'll pay you back $110, I would say, okay. And if he never paid me back, well, that would be just fine. That would be his problem. But it's not that simple. And there would be nothing wrong with that. If my neighbor borrowed $100 from me and said, I'll pay you back $110 next year. Well, that would be right if we're trading in debt notes, which reduce in value. But I would loan it to him, say, you don't have to pay me back $110. Just give me back the $100. Because I'm not in the business of loaning out money anyway. That would be fine. But what's going on here is not fine. Someone is loaning you nothing. That's right. And they're expecting you to pay them back three times for it. They're making you their slave because you believe in their witchcraft, or you don't know that they're using witchcraft to create that money for you, that they're taking the note you gave them. So the people have become servants of foreigners right in this country. And who? I mean, if you dig deep enough, I think you'll find out that it's going to be that beast that's going to require everyone to be numbered that is really loaning you the money and making you a slave because of the lust of your own flesh, because you lust for things that if you prayed for, if you really prayed, you said, God, should I go to the usurers and enslave myself for my life? Well, I think his answer would be no. What do you think? You're listening to Cross the Border. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Bye-bye.